One of my old pastors used to say that whenever he wore something like this, that it made him feel like Britney Spears. And I mean, it does, kind of. Not too much, but enough, you know. All right, well, good morning, guys. I don't get to talk all that often, so it's really good when I have an opportunity to, and so I'm excited about today. In case you don't know me, my name's John. I'm not one of the pastors. I'm just one of the guys that goes to church here on the west side, and I've been coming for quite a while. Here's a picture of my family. I have four boys. It may look like I am by far the most excited person to take this picture, but I can assure you that I was not happy. I'm not a big picture taker. So we're going to be talking about asking today. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll pray, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for truth. I thank you that you have called us to a big, huge adventure, God, that is different and exciting every day. God, and I thank you that you are right there with us, working with us. Father, I thank you that you have called us to something really, really big, Father, and I pray that your words are spoken today. Father, I thank you that we get opportunities throughout life to do what you want us to do, to be part of that. Father, and I thank you for today. Amen. Amen. So, asking something of God, asking God for something, it's an interesting topic. When I was in college, just to share a couple stories about my asking. One time when I was in college, it had snowed. I went to college up in Colorado. It had snowed. There was a bunch of us that found a hill. We found some inner tubes and we went inner tubing just down the hill. And it was a great pastime. We were kind of in the mountainous region in Colorado. And so there were mountains all over the place. So I remember one time I was in a chain. There was like a series of inner tubes hooked up and everyone was kind of linking arms and legs and we all slid down and there was this big little hill that we went over and everyone flew everywhere and my glasses went flying off. And I looked around, you know, with my limited sight that I could, and I didn't, it's like they were gone. They were totally, completely gone. And I trekked back up to the top of the hill. And I sat down and thought, you know, God, it's in your hands, but I'd like my glasses back. And immediately, fraction of a second later, someone said, whose glasses are these? And it was an immediate yes. I had prayed for something, and God gave me an immediate yes. Fast forward a bit, and there was this girl that I liked. And I really, really liked her. I never talked with her. I didn't know her personality. I liked her from afar. And I'd prayed about it some, but I never really thought anything would happen until the youth pastor at my church that I was going to at the time came to me and said, how would you like to help with youth? And by the way, this girl that I liked, she was also going to be helping with youth. And I thought, God answered my prayer. This is it. Now we're going to get married. And months went on, and the youth had started, and we were both working in it. And I still never talked with her. I didn't know how to do that, I guess. So I'm a computer scientist by my trade. All of the rumors and stereotypes that you've heard about computer science are actually quite true in terms of their engagement with females. And so the relationship wasn't progressing at all. And I thought, you know what, just forget it. I'm just going to go to her and ask her out and, you know, bake her a cheesecake. And it'll go from there. Maybe it was just a me thing, but I thought baked goods would help in this overall kind of process of, you know, how to engage with this. And so I saw her a couple days later. I said, did you wanna, here's a slice of fluffy heaven. And I kind of mumbled it out. And if you could imagine absolute horror mixed with complete disgust washed over her face at the audacity of me asking. And don't pity me at all. It was a great learning lesson that I'm thankful that I went through, but my wife Liz is like 1,000 times better fit for me than that girl ever was. And the whole universe is better off that we never got, not that it would have ever happened anyway, apparently, but that we never got together. And I bring up those stories because sometimes when we ask God for something, He says yes. Sometimes He says maybe later. Sometimes He says absolutely not. And it's like this confusing thing of like what all God's gonna do. Like, how do we ask? Is there like a formula? Is it being a heretic to even ask if there's a formula for how we can ask God for things? And my confusion about asking has kind of stemmed from just my life and all the different circumstances that I've experienced and gone through, and that, like, on one side, there's like prosperity gospel, where God is almost like this big vending machine in the sky that, if you pray in faith and you claim something and you speak positively, you'll get whatever you want. And God will just rain down primarily like cars and boats and bags of money, and He's trying to turn us into the Monopoly guy. And on the other side, there's like this absence of asking, that God has given us everything that we already need, that all we should do is praise Him and glorify Him, and that it's offensive and to even ask God for something. And so over the past year, I've kind of, you know, on and off looked at asking, trying to look at it in a new light and see if I can uncover a little bit more about how asking works. And just because it's, man, if we look back, this is the thing, is that we look back and we see God. He is all powerful, all knowing. He has infinite ability. And so it translates into infinite opportunity. And so I don't want to fall into tradition and what other people say about God. I want to go from the Bible because, man, asking is all over the place in the Bible. And so in trying to understand God, there's this asking element that's part of it. And I just wanted to understand that a little bit more. One verse that we're going to be going back to a bunch is, "You do not have because you do not ask God," in James 4. And that's the essence of asking God for something. We don't have something that we would really need, and we need to ask God for it. And so I found three principles that seem to speak to me from what I looked at in Scripture. So we're going to go through those. So the first one is, understand that God deeply loves you. A couple of years ago, one of my boys came up to me, and after he saw something that his brother was eating, he came and said, "Dad, can I have what he's having? It looks kind of like a pancake." And I thought, we haven't made pancakes. Toast? Yeah, toast. Could I have toast? And it was clear he didn't know what toast was. And I don't think he knew what a pancake was either, apparently, based on his ignorance of the topic. But he knew, like, the principle was, is that he knew whatever it was, that his best shot at getting what he wanted, even though he didn't completely understand it, was he needed to ask his dad about it. He just needed to go directly to the source and ask his dad. And of one thing that I've learned about being a father is that the boy's first taste at their relationship with God is reflected by the relationship with their earthly dad. That's kind of their first taste of what it means like to have a father. And if any of our fathers was a jerk, or if he just wasn't around, or if he left, all of those can affect our relationship with God. You might think that God is like, and this is one that I've struggled with, an indifferent boss. That you go ahead, you work, and that you get a wage, you get money, you get a salary for that work, but your boss doesn't really care. Like, your boss will sign the checks, but won't really care and won't really be invested. And that's not at all what the Bible says about God. That it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved the world, for God so deeply loved the world, that God isn't an indifferent boss. It's like, and I've seen this just recently at my work, there's a couple of people that are working with the boss, with the boss's boss's boss. And they're working on this special project, and you can just see how jazzed they are about it. That they're really, really engaged, that they really think that they're doing something significant. And it's cool to see that develop, because that's the way that God is with us, is that if we think of Christianity as this whole organization, it's like we are working intimately, no matter where we are. It doesn't even matter where we are in that hierarchy. God is working intimately with us because he deeply, deeply loves us. It says in Luke, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That God loves us. Man, like a father loves a child. But if you're like me, you already knew that. Maybe not to the depths of what it means for God really to deeply love us and what all he's done for us, but you've already heard that God loves us. You probably heard it for a long time. And so did I. And so I wanted to find out a little bit more of what I could, but I want to have that in there because it's like this incredible umbrella under which, regardless, God deeply loves us. We have to remember that throughout all of the different struggles and issues that we go through and asking, God deeply loves us. And so I think it's a really important foundational piece of this whole asking puzzle. But, what I really wanted was to find out what the Bible says about asking. And so this is a list of a couple of the things that we're asked for in the New Testament specifically. Casting out demons, for bold words, for deliverance, for receiving Christ and the Holy Spirit, for health, for general health and for specific healings, for safe travel opportunities, for daylight. There was some ship sailing, so they wanted just daylight. It was a hard time for them. Deeper revelation and knowledge, encouragement, guidance. This is an all comprehensive list that's in the New Testament, but this is a lot of the stuff, and a lot of these were answered. It didn't specifically say, in some cases, whether the prayer was answered, but this stuff was asked for, and a lot of it was answered. But there were not complete yeses in the Bible. This is a story about Zebedee's sons. Zebedee's sons were James and John. So there was all the disciples, and then there was Peter, James, and John, which had they had a special relationship with Jesus, as far as the disciples went. And their mom came to Jesus one day and said, with her son, she was kneeled down, she asked Jesus for a favor. And Jesus said, "What is it that you want?" And she said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Long story short, probably not, right? My dad always used to tell this story about the most humble man in church who was given a pin by the pastor that said, "Humblest man in church." The next Sunday, he wore the pin, and the pastor took it away. And so it's kind of like, I feel like that has a kind of a same feel like in this story. My favorite one, though, is this one. It's still with James and John again. There was this town that I believe they were trying to prepare or they were trying to witness to, and basically the town rejected them as with whatever they had to do, and I get this impression that they were walking away, and James and John turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them?" And Jesus turned and rebuked them. And I get this image of they were walking along. The disciples said that. Jesus stopped, turned back, and said, "What? What are you, seven? Do you think you're a Power Ranger? No! You stupid heads." And Jesus didn't say stupid heads, but And I don't think he mentioned the global phenomenon that is Power Rangers, now available in theaters, but I think it had the heart. He had this rebuke that was like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And so the second principle is ask with the right motives. From the list that we saw before, they had a heart to help, and we're going to get into that. But in the two following stories, there's almost this selfish kind of nature. And so there was a no, partially I think because of, there wasn't the right motive behind the prayer. It says in Proverbs, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. If we go back to that verse in James, with a little bit more context, it says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So I have a theory, and it was encouraging. John even mentioned something about it this morning. So I encourage you guys to look into it and research and read about it yourself. But the theory is, God doesn't do everything. So God does what God can do, and then he lets the rest of it fall on the people. So God does what God can do, and then humans do what humans can do. And so Jesus intentionally didn't do it all. So here's a couple of stories. There are several that I found, and there's several in the Old Testament too. The first one is fill the jars with water from John. So Jesus' first miracle was he turned water into wine. And the first thing that happened in regards to that was he said, take these jars to the servants, take these jars and go fill them with water. And the size of the jars and the amount that it contained, if you add it all up, it was about 1,200 pounds of water. And so Jesus could have just done it. He could have just had the water appear. It was turned to wine. It could have just all been done. But it was, I mean, that was a lot of work. The jars were heavy. So they probably had to be moved to another place. They had to be filled somehow, probably with a well that you had to like pull up. 1,200 pounds of water is a lot. And it took a fair amount of servants, a fair amount of time. Jesus did what he did. And the people did what they did. The next one is take off the grave clothes and let him go. This was when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He had the people move the stone away. Lazarus had been dead for a couple days, moved the stone away. Lazarus came back to life. Lazarus came out, still had his grave clothes on. Jesus could have done all that. He could have moved the stone, or he could have just teleported Lazarus out wearing normal clothes. But he didn't do that. He did what God can do, and the rest was left up to people. Next one is Jesus told them to give her something to eat. This is when he healed Jairus' daughter. Same kind of thing of like, okay, she was sick, she died, raised to life. He could have put food in her belly, but that's something that they could do. The last one is, then Jesus gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. And that was when he had the 5 loaves and 2 fish, that he prayed for it, fed all of these people. He could have had nice little bundles of food materialize in front of everybody. But he didn't do that. He did what he did, and then it went to the people. Then it was the human responsibility at that point. And the thing is that we don't necessarily want to do the work. So God does what God can do, and then he leaves stuff, he leaves room for us to do. The second is, we have been given a bunch of resources. We've been given time, energy, money, relationships, all this stuff, and the goal of all of that is to, we kind of look at that as a way to satisfy our needs. We have money, we can buy food, we can get full. We have a job that we're supposed to do. We can put energy and time and sometimes money at that, and we can accomplish it. So we have resources that we can exchange for some satisfaction, some need that we have just as our person, whether it's to to be loved, to be full, to be not thirsty anymore. We have all of these needs. And the idea is that God has given us just kind of a tail end. He does a miracle and then he leaves that like tail end for us to do. And that work that he has for us to do, he says will satisfy us. But we have a tendency, and I know I've struggled with this, that we think, no, it won't. So I'm not going to take my resources and put it towards that work. I'm going to save it for something that I know will actually satisfy me. And it becomes this weird kind of struggle in our life. And I've experienced that all the time. And this is why Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That there's tons of work that he has set up for us to do, but not many people want to do it. Because we have this idea of what kind of work will result in satisfaction. And we don't think that God necessarily has our best interest in mind. It's a struggle, and I struggle with it too. And sometimes we ask God to do the work that we're supposed to do. Just to avoid this. And sometimes to get out of work in general. So let's say that our prayer is this. God, I'm hungry. And I know that there's an Eggo waffle in the freezer. But I'm going to have to walk all the way over there and get it. And then I'm going to have to set up the toaster, because the toaster's not even out yet. I have to go and I have to set up the toaster. And then I have to fiddle with the setting, because I don't want it too dark, because I'd have to scrape it off. But I don't want it too light, because then I'd have to put it in, and then I'd have to put it in again if it's too light, and it will dry out, and it will ruin the texture. So this is what I'm asking. Could you get a perfectly cooked Eggo waffle, make sure that there's butter and syrup on it, and cut it up into bite-sized pieces, and then place it upon my tongue, just like right here. And then I'll chew it, and then when I'm done, could you just keep it coming? Just do like another one. Amen. Right? I mean, it's like ridiculous. And so part of asking with the right motives is understanding that God does what God does, and we can do what we can do. We can get an Eggo waffle. The boys ask for water all the time. You know? All the time. And so we encourage them to, so you know where the cup is, you know where the water is. If at some point you're not going to have mom and dad anymore, and if you can't figure out how to get water, you're going to die in a couple days. So it's actually really important that they do stuff, that they work, that there's stuff for God for that has set for us to do, and then he wants us and expects us to do that. Let's talk a little bit about money. So, we can, and I know I've prayed this before. God, make me a millionaire. Just because it'd be awesome. Not for any real reason. I mean, I can think that I have like some kind of heart associated with doing something with it, but just because it'd be awesome. And of what I found, like, so I've researched and studied business for the last couple of years. I haven't done anything with it because it's hard. But of what I found out about business is that if you devote the time, if you devote the energy to it, if you devote the personal learning associated with it, if you really work on all the obstacles of, oh, I don't have any ideas, and I'm not smart enough, and I'm not talented, and I don't have the resources, and you really get into it, you really pursue it and pursue the right people and relationships and connections, you can become a millionaire. I mean, it will take a long time. It will be a lot of sacrifice and energy, but you can become a millionaire. And so when asking for money, unless it's something that we can't possibly do and we really need it and it's like the rent is due in 2 days and there's no way we could get it, I don't know. If we ask for money, it just seems God saying, if you really want it, you can do it yourself. Because that's, I mean, it's like money doesn't even really have any value. Like, it's weird. It's like a dollar bill is made of cotton fiber and magnetic ink. And we've just assigned value to it. And anymore, I hardly ever see money, like actual paper money. It's like all digital. Like, I look at my screen and there's money that's come into the checking account, and then that just disappears for mortgage and all these utility bills, and it's like, I never have anything. It's like all virtual anyway. And so when we're asking for money, it's like, I don't know, you can get it yourself. It's a lot of work, but you can get it yourself. And God says that He's going to take care of us anyway. Because it says in Scripture that there's a deceit associated with riches, with wealth. And it's because it lies to you. It's not like it's this, well, money does a lot of stuff that can do it. No, so does God. God, they're kind of about the same. It's basically saying this lies to you. This cannot do what God can do. And that's point blank. That's what it's saying, is that God is all-inclusive. Money can do some things. And so it deceives you. So, understand that God deeply loves us. And when we ask God for something, we ask with the right motives. So, principle 3. Don't stop asking. My boys have this principle down flat. They just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. When it comes to my relationship with God, I don't ask nonstop. And there's a couple cool stories found in the New Testament. One is, this is in Luke 11. So his disciples, Jesus' disciples, came to him and asked him to pray. And he goes into the Lord's Prayer, Father, who art in heaven. And he goes through that, and immediately after, he tells this story. Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And it's, you get this impression that the guy that was asking just was relentless, of like, "I need your bread. You have bread. I need bread." And he was just going to keep going until the guy got up out of bed and gave him the bread. And this next story echoes that same kind of passion. In a certain town, there was a judge. This was just another story by Jesus. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about the justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" Man, of just pray and pray and pray, of God. I love persistence. I love seeing it in others. I love drive. I think it's a beautiful thing. And knowing that God can answer that because he has infinite possibility, that he's the source, my best shot for getting something is going right to my dad. God doesn't want to be annoyed. That's not why he gives this as examples. One thing that I think kind of unpacks that annoyance mystery is, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, you know that God loves you, and you wouldn't know that you have love from an imaginary God. So when we come to God and we ask him for something, It shows that we know that He exists, or we believe that He exists, so that we've met the first criteria, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It knows that we're not alone, that we can't do everything on our own, and that He'll reward us if we diligently, earnestly, continuously, with drive and passion, seek Him. And so, even though it may seem like God is asking us to annoy Him, He's saying, have faith that I am the only one that can solve your problem. And so it matches up with what God really wants for us. Because when we have faith that God exists and that He rewards us when we diligently seek Him, man, our whole perspective towards life changes. And that's what God wants for us, is that incredible mental shift and blessing that comes from being a Christian. So the three principles: understand that God loves us, ask with the right motives, and don't stop asking. It doesn't mean that God will say yes every time. And it may not make sense, like, it may not explain why God says no, too. But for me, it's helped. Those three things have helped. Like, okay, God, I understand You. Just a wink more in terms of me asking and what the role of asking is in our relationship. You do not have because you do not ask God. God just wants significance to be added to our life, that we don't waste it doing a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't result in what God has planned for us, that there's hardship, that there's joy, that there's pain, that there's blessing, like, riddled throughout life, and that asking is going to be part of that along the way. That we are to have faith that God will work it all out to His blessing, to His glory, to our benefit, and my experience so far with life of the 3¾ decades that I've lived so far, that's the case. Father, I thank You that You are a good God that is invested in our life, God, and that we can have an intimate one-on-one relationship with You. Thank You so much for Your truth. God, thank You for it just shaping us and molding us into the right mindset that You want us to have. Father, amen.